standard. So as a result, we had people from our folks who were going out and doing these trainings around the country, which created a cottage industry. Okay? So here's my fear and here's my concern. Now, as we started to turn back that clock, because those were really created by taxpayer dollars, and they were created by tax dollars in terms of both investing and creating the model. And then those folks then started to sort of create this competitive cottage industries where they were going out. So I was sending my prosecutors, law enforcement, everybody else who would go out to Alabama, and for $15,000 they would go do this training and whatever. If we're going to make an investment as our tax dollars, then we need to be upfront conscious about making sure this is proprietary and owned by the Utah Prosecution Council. And you need to make some provisions in there for non-competitive clauses, as well as the protection of those materials that are generated. This is cutting edge. This is something that is going to be there. And you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're going to have a group of people who get the initial training then as part of what we're generating as the protocol, and then they're going to go out and subcontract out for this training around the country, which we found with the Children's Justice Center. And it was it's been a really interesting exercise to walk back on those fit training issues. So we finally took the position, at least because a lot of it was generating out of Salt Lake County, is that it's part of our job description to provide this free of charge. We shouldn't be charging other fellow law enforcement or prosecution entities to provide that training. If people want to fly them out there and pay for their airfare and we pay the per diem of their thing, then it should be costing other prosecution offices more money, and so it doesn't become a side business for a prosecutor or a law enforcement agent.
Okay.
So that's a very important issue. That's something I don't want to recreate by using tax dollars, which we ended up initially doing with the Children's Justice Center, which we've had to walk back from. So
yeah. Okay.
That's something to think about. And I think that sort of covers some of the concerns that you're raising.
Right. No, this is good. I mean, this, like I said, this is why we're raising it now. It's just because everybody, you guys are all smart, so we can think of these issues. Okay, anything else on that? Okay, Ron, do you want to talk about our webpage?
Okay, we're working on making the website more interactive, a little bit more helpful, more resources available. So we're redesigning it. It'd be real helpful if we get some feedback from some of you, whether it's going in the right direction or not, or whatever we can do. It's just still in an early stage. Now we're going to try to show some of it, but there's nowhere here to do that.
I think I went on a week or two ago and looked through some of the training materials. I had trouble getting access to some of the training material that used to be there.
On our current website?
Yeah. It might be user error, but I couldn't access it.
Because there's nothing blocking anybody from just getting there and downloading it. But
I don't think it was there. It's a tab or anything anymore. You had the agendas for conferences.
Well, the training materials are on the home page, and you have to link right from the home page. It's the only way they link to right now.
Great.
This is why we're redoing our web page, for that very reason, is, because we realize that there have been problems. So in your outline, that upc.at.ut.gov, that will take you to the page that's currently being developed.
It's a development site. It's not live, but you can go and look at it. It's actually UTAH. Utah spelled out.
Oh, okay. UTAH. Okay.
So it's upc.utah.gov?
No, upc.at.utah.gov.
That's just development. It's not live. It's just you can't look at it, but it changes as often as I need to fix things. But main idea is if I get some feedback from other people about, I can build stuff. I am not a real good designer, a graphics artist or anything like that, but I do the best I can. But I can, if somebody shows me something they like, and I can build it to look like they want it, we plan to put in a members only section where you can, the idea there is where you can go and download tools and stuff, but not just anybody can get there, just people who have a login. Still working on that. That isn't ready to go test yet, but it's, and that way you could go to any tool, anything that we want to protect and keep for just prosecutors or whatever, we could do that and put it behind that, and then you'd have to log in to get to it. we also I'm planning right now to, if you want to get your, for example, if you want to get a CLE report, you can log into that section, go to the website, log in and request that, and it would pop up a screen that would show you your CLE for a particular time period. Rather than, then you wouldn't have to call Marilyn and have her do it for you. But that's just, that's preliminary. That's part of what we're planning for the website. The main idea is if there's something there that just what I'm trying to accomplish is on the front page we'll have automatic updating of the training that's coming up, articles that are written, the newsletter stuff will all just kind of pop as we do the newsletter. The articles will kind of show up there and have you a link to it to go read all of it. So it's kind of interactive and a little bit more pulling in stuff dynamically rather than just statically.
So what our goal is by the end of the month, we can, you know, send out an invite to you all to, like, you know, do the beta testing, you know, provide us some feedback, because what we would then like to do is at spring conference unveil, you know, at least what we have so people can start using it and, again, providing us some feedback. So, if, you know, when you have a few extra minutes, if you just go ahead and take a look at that.
And what I'm trying to do as I do it is build it so that it's mobile friendly. I know a lot of people, I see people have tablets, people have their phones. Trying to build it so that as you use a smaller device, it reformats itself to fit on your smaller device properly so you can use it.
Well, I guess what I'm referring to is, so I just went on and checked. There's some of the most recent training materials. Like, I was looking for some of the Giglio information that Troy had done a couple years ago.
Conference material?
Yeah, a lot of the prior material.
Okay, the old stuff we don't have up there. If we need to do that, that's something we could work on in the background and get some of the archive stuff up there.
I'll tell you, when issues come up, it's a great place to go to see what we've discussed before.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, let's.
That would be good to put some archive stuff up there.
Yeah. Good.
In the meantime, though, if it's archived, Ron, and you put it on the forum, we can notify Ron and he can send it to you. In the meantime,
I actually got it through a Google search, but I couldn't get it to the UPC page, which is weird.
Yeah. Either that or you can call me.
Right. Yeah.
You can still call me and I can send it to you.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have lists of videos and stuff that we can use for training. It'd be nice to see what we can access from you. Mm-hmm.
Actually, that is another thing. Thanks for bringing that up. That's another thing that I'd really like, because while I can build stuff, I can build a framework, but I don't know what to put on it. So if you've got feedback and ideas of what should be there to help you, you know, get resources you need, yeah, that'd be great to get that information so I could put that on there and get that content. Because my biggest problem is building a framework for a website is something I do. It's not hard. It's fun to do. But the problem is that putting the content there has been the big issue all along. And so if you have ideas for that, and just send it in to us, and we'll see if we can build that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, though, but if you generate good motions or content in your offices that are successful, I just send them to us so we can make it available statewide.
And the thing to look at, too, is any content that you think ought to be protected for just members only, we ought to mark it that way so that I can put it in the members only section of the website. Still deciding how to let everybody sign up for members only. There's a lot of different ways of doing it. We might just send you out here. Here's what you need to use to log in, or we might let you create your own. I'm not sure yet how we're going to do that. But we want to have a members only so it protects some of the resources that are pertinent. We don't want just anybody to get access to.
Yeah, right now the only thing that's up there is just public information.
It's all just public stuff.
So that's what Ron has been spending a good deal of time on. We're also working on our conference registration, looking at, you know, doing barcode scanning, things like that, but we're not ready to really discuss that yet.
No, that's just in the future. We're planning to do a little bit more with automated, make it simpler and easier for everybody, but still in the works in the background.
Okay, the logo. Maybe we opened up a can of worms when we proposed refreshing our logo. At tab E, you'll see the top three vote getters. You know, we had 177 people vote. So the arch got 50 votes. The one that I'm calling the Shield with the courthouse got 29 votes, and then the State with the gavel got 24. The problem with the arch is it would be expensive and not really easy to stitch and put on, you know, our swag. You know, we could probably get around that. Most people commented to me is, I don't really like any of them. You know, I don't like the current logo, but I don't really like any of the choices. What's my other choice? So I guess the choice is we stick with what we've got. Or I did some searching online, you know, for a couple hundred bucks. They have like this, there's a website where it's like a prize. Is I say, okay, we'll pay $200, you know, a couple hundred dollars. And then designers will, based on parameters that we give them, will submit logo designs. I mean, that's an option. Or like I said, we just stay with what we've got. But okay, this was the results of the survey.
Okay, even if you guys don't like super care about this that much, this just looks awful. Can you imagine being stuck with this for the next long time?
It's like having a license plate on your...
But it's not just that. The colors are awful. The contrasts are awful. It's just awful.
Members, APC members. I thought about talking to you about their graphic design.
Yeah, you can, you know, go down to the graphic design folks and... offer them $100 prize to their graduate students, and they'll come up with a thing.
Exactly.
For
that might be an idea.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And certainly in computer graphic design, U has one of the best programs in the country.
Right. I don't know if, and I don't remember who asked. You know, when we proposed, you know, the vote was we've got a lot of really creative prosecutors, which I think we do, but. You know, this was an investment for them. So if I can get a motion, I mean, I would love to go to a design place, you know, and for a couple hundred dollars just see what they come up with.
Just make sure you have your price point up front because they can also run up very
quickly. Oh, no, of course.
So, not more than X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
My thought is we give him a stipend of so much money right now to use towards trying to get a logo that would really be something acceptable. Yeah. Any ideas on how much? How much do you think you are going to need?
Oh, man, I could go up to 500 easily.
Yeah, I would say 500 easy. You need to give them at least
500 or less.
All right, so a $500 stipend to try and find something that we think is acceptable that he can use in whatever manner he thinks necessary.
Is that a motion?
And do we have a motion?
So I'll make that motion.
A second? And what I would do is I would...
Your second?
Yeah, is I would ask him to give us maybe a couple suggestions so that we're not, you know, we just don't have one, and then bring those back. Well, you can make a competition where you can give a first, second, and third place finishers as voted on by our group, to be honest with you. But that's something up to you guys. Mm-hmm. We've got a first and a second. We've got a motion and a second for up to $500 stipend. Spent towards this.
You know, we opened it up to prosecutors, and none of us were any good at it.
That's right.
And now we're sounds like we're kind of opened up to students that are maybe learning about it. Is it worth searching for? You know,
the $500 I think is we're giving to him. We're not saying he has to use students. We're saying he can do whatever.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying I don't know that a contest necessarily is going to be better than finding somebody that's really good to say,
right,
give us something.
Well, he's got $500 to do with what he wants.
Well, we'll do
some
checking.
We're not saying how he has to do it. Just my
all good ideas.
But there's a couple of websites you can actually go in and people will bid to do your logo for you. And if you tell them what your parameters are and what your line is, you can get some really professional people will do stuff like that as a sideline.
Right now we've got a motion and a second. A motion and a second to approve $500. Any opposed? Go with it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Folks. Okay. Let's see. That takes us. Oh. Today is the day for replacing members. Not that we're going to replace Barry, but Barry's term expires on April 4th of this year. The list of all the members is on tab F. The reason that they're color-coded is I have a map in my office, and I color-coded the region. So for you guys, that doesn't mean anything. That's just how I do it. So I'm not – is it – and you guys need to help me. So is it just the UPC Region 3 that votes? Is that how that works?
Yeah, I've actually contacted 6 out of them already, and they've all agreed to let me do it longer. The other three, I just don't have their contact information, but the majority have already asked me to stay on.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can just do a motion by acclamation or what.
Do you want to ask for a motion by acclamation?
So I'm not up in here right now, but I can show you the text if you'd like to see it.
Well, basically, just your region votes and then report back.
Right, and they've all texted me and said to stay on.
Okay. So I guess unless we hear otherwise, we're going to take your word for that. And okay, so that means then that you are now April of 2019. Okay. Region 3. Okay, then the financial report. So this is on tab G. Maryland's, let's see. Oh, no, excuse me. This is the surcharge report. So if you look at it, the surcharge, what we've got is in July, well, no, let me go back. December surcharge was $46,179. Let me look at my notes in here. You can see, I did a comparison from where we are this year to where we were last year. Yes, okay, so December was 46,000, last year was 37. November was, we were down, way down, 36,000, whereas last year we were 49. And then in October we got 48, and last year it was 44. So you can see, you know, what the trend is. And so I don't know. I mean, you guys that are actually in court, are the judges, are you seeing the class B and C's that they're going with the new bail schedule fines? Anybody know? Or is that echelons above what you're doing?
No, I see that. They're going with the new bail schedule.
Okay. So I don't know if the fact that we're up 10,000 from November is, you know, the new bail schedule kicking in or what, but, you know, it's obviously a constant concern. But, I mean, and it is what it is. Just so you know, I'll get to the Appropriation Committee report in just a second. That was an issue that they discussed, Representative Hutchings' committee. His name just escaped me. Who's over AOC? Richard Schwimmer. Rick Schwimmer was there. A couple of people in the Appropriation Committee was asking them about the surcharge. And at this point, Rick says, well, let's wait a little while and see with the new bail schedule what's going to happen. But I don't know if there's anything that this body can do to affect the surcharge. Anybody have any thoughts on that, or is this just something that we sit back and watch take place?
Well, we've talked about this before, and I'm confident that what they're doing, and I'm seeing it more and more, is, you know, the judge just says, make your peace with state debt collection. And we know, what their recovery rate is. I mean, they would have gone bankrupt in the private sector decades.
Well, in the state statute,
their recovery is 2%.
That's on a good day.
Yeah, and then from which they take their administrative costs first before they give it to victims.
The judges' rules and what they're being pushed on is time. Their cases are open. 90 days with no payment, with no court appearance, it goes to debt collection automatically. That's what they've done now. That's what all the courts are doing now.
It's in the statute now.
That's right.
They put it in the statute.
So 90 days, they're sending away. That's why these things are going to change. It's not going to get any better. Everything's going to state debt collection after 90 days of no activity.
See, the Justice Court's not doing that. However, state debt collection is actually going and asking them if they can start doing their collections for them. So they're out trying to garner more business so they can do more business.
So it sounds more like then something's going to have to happen with state office of debt collection. But again, I mean, is that an issue that I should keep bringing up here? Or, I mean, I'm not quite sure how we affect then how state office debt collection does things.
Well, I think it's one of those, we look across the top and we see everybody who receives money from a surcharge. And I think there's got to be a united voice amongst those folks that go to the go to the legislature and say, this is what we see as happening, or at least go to Schwarmer and say, you know, you got to answer this, because this is not working.
Yeah.
So we started an office of victim services and recovery in our office, where I assigned one full-time prosecutor at the end of the case to execute on restitution orders and then go after the collection of those. And I think we went from collecting $40,000 to, no, not less than $40,000, to over $250,000, just by simply making that just a conversational priority. We talked a little bit about, I think at one time, about 4 years ago, about you creating a uniform way of doing that. We've helped create some legislative change to make it part of your money that's owed to go through the gotcha system, to the state tax thing. So I think we need to start thinking about a different way of recovery that impacts the majority of the people more than just, geez, we're going to send it over to a civil judgment to debt collection.
Yeah, because so many of those people pay their taxes too. So
well, but you know what? No, you know what? There is probably between 5 to 10% of those people who are the hardcores who don't. But there's a lot that do recover that, and so there is a lot of people whose money goes into arrears who do have otherwise good jobs or otherwise have money that are coming back to. It's a lot better than 2% of recovery, is I guess my point.
So
So
you actually have a procedure that you're following.
So what we're doing is we actually are we worked on legislation. Paul, what was the legislation that we did? That wasn't that to also we did take our judgments. They're going to be start
yes.
being part of the. They're part of the now the state tax gotcha system.
Right. There were a couple of good
yeah.
changes made in the last legislature.
Yeah.
One of them is the judges can now
order a civil
posted bail money to apply to fines, fees, and surcharges.
That's right.
And restitution.
And restitution.
And then the other change was that it was not on the list
yeah.
of things that the tax
commission
was seizing. So now it
now
is.
Now it is. So we made that, and that's the first step, because our next in the next 2 years, our goal is to then take the success of the state and ask for a federal statute. So if John Doe leaves the state of Utah and goes to Colorado, that we can attach now in the same way his federal tax return as well.
So,
that's something that we started, and I think we're broaching between $250,000 to $300,000 per year versus $40,000 for all of district court that was done in a year. We did a data set collection of all the restitution and fines and whatever it was. It was like $40,000 were collected for restitution amounts after on $1.1 million that was ordered. So that's a simple step that we've taken. And so I have one person, actually one and a half, then Cliff, you know, who does that. And he goes down. We're getting civil judgments as part of it, the conclusion, getting civil judgment and orders against them so their debts can't be discharged. And so it's made a difference.
I mean, is that, Jeff, is that something we'd want to talk about in a training committee?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Does that affect our surcharge?
No.
Well, no. What I'm saying is we have to think out of the box here on how to go after this money, folks, is what I'm saying. And maybe we may have to go petition legislators. We may have to think about how to deal with this. But if it's going to debt collection, that's why we did it. That's why we did our restitution change, was because we could not trust state debt collection. State debt collection does not exist, folks. It just does not exist.
Yeah.
So
is that something we'd want to maybe take to the training committee to see if Salt Lake could put together something to share with everybody else?
And that's restitution.
That's restitution.
Yes, it's not that.
But my point simply is that if you're relying on state debt collection, this is our experience. You can't. So you have to come up with some other solution. It just has to be.
Okay. What's the priority of the apply payments? Is it fines first, fees first?
In debt collection or in?
Not restitution. I'm talking fines, fees.
Theoretically.
In court, restitution first.
Yeah.
Restitution goes first. So.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Okay. Well, yeah, but that's true. That wouldn't help the surcharge.
No, it wouldn't. But I think maybe we need to think about some way of either don't know if you can do even PayPal. If you look, the way you can do it is if you're talking about fines and so forth. Think of it this way. Think of there was a group of doctors in Colorado that got so tired of the insurance companies sort of nickel and diming them through the process. They created a plan versus an insurance plan. So if you came and actually paid your money off in cash in a certain period, they gave you a different rate on the medical treatment than if you actually went through the insurance thing. And they had a higher percentage of payouts through the cash plan because they gave them the percentage that they gave off was actually much, they got back in recovery. So think of it as a tool for prosecution. You can say, I can order $300 in restitution and fines or whatever, but if you do it in the first 60 days, it'll only be $200 or it'll be $175. And that will give you a greater recovery on the search offer than it would if you actually waited for it to occur. And a simple innovation like that would change it. Because the person who's there says, okay, if I pay it in the first 30 days or first 60 days, it's $100. If I don't, it's going to be $300.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things you did bring up, didn't a couple of years ago they were going to change the surcharge percentage to our
deputy? Just prosecutors.
The police officer said, no.
Yeah.
We probably, I think, need to be involved in the conversation to make sure, just what you're saying, that there's not something like that going on.
Yeah. So far, I haven't heard that that's the issue, but that's certainly a concern.
Yeah, but that's what gets
me. Okay, so that's kind of the summary on the financial report, unless anybody has any specific questions. PIMS, so far we've collected $8,858, and that's just people sending in their payment. As I waited until now, I'm going to send out the bill for the last 6 months because I knew there were going to be some jurisdictions that were going to leave immediately or were not, whereas now I'll send them a bill. You have been using for the last 6 months, so here's your bill. And then I'll do it again at the end of the 12 months. Ron, can you tell us, what's been happening with PIMS? Has anybody else been downloading it? Requests for fixes?
There's no new people that have been installed that were already, but there's a couple that are planning to leave, obviously, and a couple that already have.
Right.
But most people that were using it still are, and I still get quite a few support calls that they need help with one thing or another, and I'm still helping them do that.
Okay.
So there's still a significant amount of help that people need occasionally. It's not huge, but it's still out there. Just got another call today that they need some help. So so it just continues to go on. There's a lot of them that say this. We can't afford anything else right now, so we're going to go with it. And it works for us, so they're happy with it. There's other folks that are looking. I think Weber County, I believe, is looking at something else. Cache County already did, as we know, and Uinta County did. And There's a few cities, I think, that are thinking about it, but their budgets are even harder to manage. And the smaller counties haven't heard anything from them saying that they're looking for something, so I don't know. But as far as I know, everybody that was using PIMS last year is still doing it with the exception of Cache and Uinta County.
Okay. So when you get
Is all the fees paid?
We just contracted with JustWare a few weeks ago. I don't know if they want everybody to know this or not, but we worked out in our deal was that the county's going to host the data, and our contract will allow our cities to come in and basically use our cost for licenses. So they'll pay it to us, and we'll reimburse JustWare. But we'll share the data, and it really dramatically lower the cost for cities because they don't have to pay for implementation or training. They can get with us, and unless they want something special, if they're okay with the system that we build, all they got to do is pay the annual cost of the maintenance license.
So that's a unique way to look at it.
Well, I mean, I was going to have you report on that. Now, what about, though, the e-filing interface?
Well, JustWare contracted with a third-party vendor to develop that. So there was a lot of negotiation about it, but they've got that negotiated, and someone's supposed to be writing it. We included that as part of our contract price, but I know that that's not going to be, you're going to have to pay for that separately.
Yeah, it's a separate thing, but it's not going to be real. It takes a long time to work with the courts to get that done. Mark has something about that. They're trying to do that.
We've been fighting with the state since
sorry, over
Shaw.
Our vendor, Carpet.